Welcome, everybody. There was still some people coming around the corner, but we're just going to have to let them go. We've got a lot to cram into a very short time frame, time window. My name is Jason Maness. If you don't know me, I'm the Region 2 Policy Committee. So if you're in Region 2, welcome. You're in good company, family. If you're not in Region 2, still, we're ACT family. Thank you for coming. Thank you for choosing our session. And this is...
Hi, everybody. Steve Casa. I'm an assistant principal at Ulster BOCES, which is about 90 miles north of New York City, about 50 miles south of Albany. I'm also the work-based learning and partner engagement lead for our BOCES. I'm on the ACT Work-Based Learning Policy Committee, and I'm the Advocacy Committee Chair for the ACT Work-Based Learning Policy Committee. How do we put these things into some kind of concise stuff so it doesn't take 15 minutes for me to go through that? But it's really great to have you here. Welcome, right? This morning session is always the toughest because we all know what happens after day one at the conference. Everybody goes out and has brats and beers when you're in Milwaukee, right? But Jason and I, our job today is really simple. We have not a lot of time to go through a lot of stuff that hopefully will benefit you, stuff that you're going to hopefully take back and use, and we're going to keep you awake, okay? I can tell you, Jason and I, this is the first time we've presented together, but we've seen each other in action. We think it's going to be good. It's like he's like my brother from a taller mother, you know what I mean? It's like these bald dudes, this is the great, being bald is great, you know that? I haven't bought a brush in 13 years. Like all you people, shampoo, rinse, repeat, you know what I mean?
All right, well, having a little bit of trouble with my remote, I will get that fixed shortly. There we go, look, ask your question. So real quick, we're gonna put a slide deck up here. For those of you who haven't been to our sessions, what I like to do is, we both talk fast, he's faster than I am, so we understand that. If you want to take notes, take notes. Everything we put up here is going to be yours for free. The slide deck will upload as soon as we're done with the presentation. I'm also recording audio. So if you will message, reach out to me on LinkedIn. Send me a message on LinkedIn, which I'll give you the contact info in a second. I'll send you the audio. So don't break your back trying to take notes, trying to take pictures of the slides. We'll give you everything we've got, okay? So make sure, be here, engage with us, enjoy, hope we have a lot of fun. This is Stevens.
A little bit about me. I've been doing this work since 1990. My life changed in 90 when I became an Academy of Finance director, and I started to see that internships changed kids' lives. You know, I did this in Brooklyn, New York. These are kids who had nothing, right, that went to my school, and we got them working in banks, brokerage firms, at the Federal Reserve Bank. You know, kids that would never have that opportunity, right? So, like, my introduction to work-based learning was right then, and it's actually set up my entire career. You can see I've done some pretty cool things. I work for the National Academy Foundation. I work for NCAC. It's all good stuff. So,
and again, so I'm a director of work-based learning for a county school system in deep, deep, deep South Georgia, almost North Florida, right there on 75, a little town called Valdosta, Georgia. If you're a fan of high school football, we have been named Titletown USA by ESPN. It is awesome living in South Georgia. But my lips are chapped. I don't know if it's the weather or the humidity or what. But so luckily we had some vendors get away chapstick, so I solved that problem. But I am passionate about relationships and building and working with students and industry toward robust partnerships.
There are a few seats.
It's one of my passions. I love building programs, building partnerships, and I have kind of evolved into selling and recruiting as part of that. So. I consider myself a gentle disruptor, and sometimes I'm not so gentle. I also consider myself a talent pipeline specialist. So that's one of the few things I try to specialize in. At any point in time, I'll give you this deck. This is my contact information. So if you reach out to me, I've got the slide deck. We're doing the presentation together. I've got the slide deck. I can reach out. You can give that to me as well. When you open this up, you're going to have to do two things. If you're an Android user, I can't help you. I don't know what it looks like. If you're an Apple user, you're gonna scan this, you're gonna say save contact, then save contact again, then scroll all the way down to the bottom, click create new contact, then done. It'll put me in your phone. You don't have to share your contact with me, but I wanna give you my contact, because one of my pet peeves, as I always say, is when someone gets up and they say, hey, look, I'm an expert in this area, I wanna help you, and after the presentation, they just ghost you, okay? I wanna be available to you as much as I can, okay? So I'll leave that up for just a few more seconds. As long as I see phones up, one or two more phones. And I'll come back to this at the end of the presentation during the question and answer time. All right, we're going to go ahead and go now. So why should you care? Why should you care? Who are we? Okay, we're not anything special. You can see that with these two bald mugs, sometimes selling can be a little hard, especially when you have to look at those two faces. So we've overcome a lot in our life, okay? First thing is our hair abandoned us, okay? So it's a little bit harder to sell when you look the way we look. Hey. But I think that's how our strategy is. I've already talked to him. I told him he makes me encouraged, Stephen. I said, he makes it look better. He makes it look good. But all jokes aside, like, selling is something you've got to practice. You've got to practice. You've got to hustle. You've got to go in. And you've got to put in the effort. That's why I was playing the hustle song this morning. Okay, and we heard that, Stephen, did we not, from a student yesterday. What'd she say, Stephen?
Yeah. Do you guys remember when those young ladies were up there at the student panel? Right, and that one young lady actually complimented, her teacher for doing the, hustling, working this.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is what it's all about. Sales is uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
Most people don't like salespeople, right? That's just the nature of it, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's, well, you know, the connotation. But the bottom line is we sell all the time.
Yep.
All the time. Always. The way we dress, we're selling, right?
Always.
So, but the key thing, as Jason said, is you got to hustle. You can't be afraid to do the work.
Yep.
Right? Because it doesn't happen immediately, right? It takes time to close a sale.
Yep.
We always say, anybody ever heard, you know, the ABC term? You know what that, always be closing. The salesman right here. Let's go. Yep. Give it up
Absolutely.
For us right here. Always be closing, right?
Yeah.
Because that's what you have to do, especially in these positions.
Yeah.
And we'll go into detail. Yep. This is some stuff, you know, so when I'm closing, I'm always closing around data. I know that, yes, I do have a resume that definitely states that I can do this work, you know? But what does some business partner in Ulster County care about the fact that I opened career academies in Washington, D.C.? It doesn't matter, right? So what I try to do is I always try to use data to help. And this is some of the data that we use, right, to be able to show how we've grown, okay?
And one of my favorite lines is this, and feel free to steal it, borrow it. You know, I will say this, originality exists in forgetting where you heard it first. So anything I say, feel free to use it. Anything Stephen says, feel free to use it.
Yes, definitely.
I love telling employers this. Look, I cannot talk to you about my students or my program without coming across like a salesman. But whether he said if you get close to the mic, it'll pop. I can't talk to you about my students or my program or recruit you without coming across like a salesman. But I'm an employee of the state. Whether you hire zero of my kids or 100 of my kids, my salary's the same. I'm not a headhunter. And I like to put them at ease. But I said, because I'm going to come across strong because I have a product that you need. You have a critical labor shortage and gap in your industry, and I have the solution, so I'm going to sell that solution to you, but I don't get paid for it. Okay? I love what I do. My salary, all the credit I need is in my paycheck, and that paycheck is to grade papers. Everything else I do is for free, right? So a little bit about my program. The first year I took over, when it was from fall to spring semester in 2018, 139% growth. And then to date, a little over 450% growth in terms of student enrollment. $1.97 of a million economic impact that first year, all the way up to almost $6.5 million of economic impact, total income through wages earned. Salary, South Georgia, pre-COVID, everybody's wages were down 8.26. And then after COVID, we all know wages have gone up, so I can't take a lot of the credit for that, but $11, a little over $11.40. An hour. So again, we have the resume to do this work, but we really just want to show you some of the ways that we've been able to do this.
Hey,
so,
Jason, could you go back to that slide? I just want to talk a little bit about our growth, too, because I think it's important. When I joined Ulster BOCES 6.5 years ago, they hadn't had a work-based learning coordinator for 7 years. Now, a BOCES has a career and technical center. We have 1,200 kids. I want you to imagine that, a career and technical center without somebody engaging partners and trying to get internships. When I joined, we had 9 internships 6 years ago. 9. Last year we had 91. This year we have 248. Paid internships, right? We believe in the value of paid internships because the bottom line is if a kid gets a check, the kid sees value, right?
Yeah.
So paid internships last year we had 45. This year we're at 71. That's updated numbers.
Yeah. So and I'll echo that. Like I bet 97% of my students are paid.
Yeah.
97% of my students are paid, and I think that's where the employer is able to put their money where their mouth is. But that happens because we're able to go in and sell them not on philanthropy, Not do it for the kids, they need your help, but do it because this is going to affect your bottom line. I'm giving you access to the most talented students before your competitors. Know what you're selling. Okay, so we're going to go through that.
Last point on this, you see that $15,975 per,
yeah.
That's earnings per week that our kids make in our county.
Yeah.
Right? So when we're pitching this to economic development, when we're pitching this to business partners, what we say to them is pretty simple. Our kids are making $16,000 a week.
Yeah.
What do you think they're doing with that money?
Spending it.
They're spending it, right? Some of it in the county, most of it on Amazon, right?
They're high school students. They're not saving it.
They're high school kids, right?
Yeah. Dates, gas,
right, exactly.
Movies,
exactly.
Food, restaurants. But I'm going to bend the truth a little bit. That next point should be our last point, Stephen. Talk about that.
Yeah, so what happens with this last point is really simple. What we do is we make sure that we have data so that we have proof points with business partners, right? Because I'm an educator, right? And educators listen to educators, trust educators, business partners might not yet, right?
Yeah.
So I've got to have proof points that are going to make their financial brain say yes. So we have 500 seniors that graduate from our program. And we have the data that shows 25% of those go into the workforce directly upon graduation. Yeah. So that means 125 kids a year are going into the workforce in Ulster County, 8-county district, Kingston, rural. We are the largest workforce development agency in Ulster County, period.
Yeah, and if you're not selling that, think about your students. Who else is graduating and putting that many students into the workforce? You may have a small school or bigger school, but I would be willing to bet that you are the largest workforce development agency in your community. And you're often ignored by employers because of a lot of misconceptions and misnomers. Don't lose sight of that. You need the employers, but you have a lot of leverage because you have access to the most talented students in your community. And most employers are waiting till they enroll in post-secondary school, if not graduate from post-secondary school. But what we can pitch is early access to talent before their competitors. So if you've got one company who's waiting for students to enroll in post-secondary school and or graduate from post-secondary school, and you're giving this company access to those same students 3 to 5 years before their competitors, that is a massive competitive advantage. Leverage that. You're giving them the opportunity to jump all of their competitors in the line for talent, and here's the better part, and hand-pick the ones they want and leave the ones who aren't good enough for them for their competitors to hire. Now, that's substantial competitive advantage.
Exactly.
And that's what everyone should be promoting when you talk to industry partners. So let's jump in here, and we'll go with that first tip, okay? First tip. Hustle, we've already talked about it. You gotta put the work in. And I love this quote from Chuck Close, and I learned this as a graphic design instructor. If you are waiting around to be inspired, you're not hustling. Hustle means you do it when you don't feel like doing it.
Right.
Hustle means you knock on the door, you do the cold call. My wife tells me all the time, Jason, can we just go to dinner without you trying to get a culinary student placed in the kitchen? Can we just go out without you trying to get, we go to the theater, without you trying to get one of your theater students placed in the theater? No, I'm hustling. That's my job. I love what I do. But if you can turn it off, then you're not hustling. Always be closing.
Right?
So inspirations for amateurs. Yep. The rest of us just suck it up and go to work, right? Hustle. Everything else, the other six tips on here are rooted on the epistemology, this base of hustling. The next six tips will have zero impact if you're not willing to put aside inspiration and just do the work and hustle.
Yeah, just want to add one point to that and a little bit of an analogy, quick one for you, right? So, like, hustle is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? It just is. Right? But if anybody here, how many people here have played sports or coached? How many people here coach sports? Put that up for me first. Okay, cool. So, now, you all know this, right? I was a very successful high school and college basketball coach. Probably can't imagine that. How could such a short dude be? Well, short Italian guys are good basketball coaches. Lou Carnesecca, PJ Carlesimo, right? We got a whole bunch of Bettino, Steve Casa, right? Practice, the 70 plus practices that I had with my kids was the only chance for me to make them uncomfortable and grow. And they had a hustle.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can control. When they were in a game, I couldn't control their hustle. I could take them out, you know what I'm saying? But you gotta get uncomfortable. This is not what Jason said before about when he goes to dinner with his wife, you always have to be looking for this stuff, and it's always got to be on your mind. If this is your role to help kids and help your communities and build economic development in the community, you have to have that mindset, right? That growth mindset, and you have to be comfortable with discomfort.
And don't lose track of what your title is. I was talking to some people the other day, that, and I forget, I didn't actually introduce myself, but we were talking in the lunch line, and she was talking about how she didn't like her title, and she wanted to be have her title changed, and she wanted to have her title. It was a great conversation. But what I would tell you is, I don't care what your title is, when someone says, what do? And it sounds terrible, we're all educators, we value education. Okay, you can say you're an educator, but when people say, what do? I am in workforce development for economic development and county retention talent. That's what I do. What does that mean? Oh, I'm a teacher. I build talent so you can have your business and you can hire people. It's all about the way you frame it. Now, I'm not saying it's semantics, right? It's the way you frame it. But we are in the business of workforce development. That is what we are in the business of doing. Producing talent so that that talent can be consumed locally so that our local economy can grow. Because what happens when we produce a robust workforce? We attract businesses. If you've ever gone to any development authority meetings, you get these private secret RFIs or requests for information, and Walmart's bringing a dairy farm into your community. Nobody can know about it, but they send it out of the RFI and your development authority has to pitch. You know, all these things, labor analysis, market analysis, drive time, all these things. Well, do you know what my development authority wasn't doing? And I've sat there, the first meeting I took, I said, you need to pitch high school talent because no other community is pitching high school talent with the millions of dollars of facilities that we have in our community. There, no one's pitching that to companies when they come in and say, why should we bring ourselves to your community? They always talk about post-secondary and college and everything else. High school talent is the same thing, it's just through 2 to 3 years earlier. And so it gives your community an advantage of that. So, tip one, hustle. Congratulations, you're here, your first step in hustling. You chose the session about hustling. So, this is the first step in that.
At 8 a.m. too.
At 8 a.m. too, absolutely.
It's a hustle, it's uncomfortable.
Second, attend meetings. What do we mean by attending meetings? Chamber meetings, Rotary meetings, County Commission meetings, City Council meetings, Development Authority meetings. And here's the fun thing. Don't just pick the fun ones where there are free drinks. Don't just, she got my joke. There we go.
You get a double. That was amazing.
Don't just go to the road or the chamber meetings that have a golf tournament. Or the chamber meetings where it's on the county, the courthouse lawn where you're doing the fun stuff and throwing bean bags. And go to the ones that no one wants to go to. Because if you want to be seen as a peer, if you want to be seen as a peer by people in industry and private industry, go to the meetings that they have to go to that suck. And then they're going to respect you and say, they're my peer. They're not just a teacher. And I hate that term, but that sometimes that's how people view us, as just an educator. If you go to the ones that suck, because then they'll say, okay, they're in it with me. You earn that credibility, immediate credibility.
And you know the deal. You're networking and then building relationships. And that's when trust gets built, right? And that's when they start to want to work with you, right? So listen, this is a really uncomfortable thing that I'm going to say. But if you want to be successful doing this work, your job doesn't start at 7:30 and it doesn't end at 2:30.
It doesn't.
I'm sorry. You have these meetings. When do business partners have their meetings?
Yeah.
After hours or very early in the morning. Yeah. Right? So our advisory board meetings start at 7 a.m.
Yeah. And Stephen, where often do they go? Sometimes they have their meetings over lunch.
That's
so I'm going to add to this. It may not be within your normal working hours, and it may not be a reimbursable cost to you. If you really, and I know we're teachers, we are very, very underpaid. But it may require you taking the HR director to lunch. And if that's a problem, then create an LLC and then make it a deduction. I don't care. Find a way. It may not be reimbursable. Now, I'm not saying spend thousands of dollars doing this, but if you need, say, hey, look, you got to eat, I've got to eat, let's go to lunch, let me tell you about my students and my program.
Yeah. And, you know, I think what Jason's saying is you have to be strategic with this, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, we have to, like, you know, and this is something we're going to talk about a little bit later, but you really have to understand your customer and know your customer, right? Like, and knowing your customer is understanding what their day looks like. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be cognizant of that because the bottom line is, folks, partner engagement drive CTE, period.
100%.
You don't have partner engagement, you're not going to have successful CTE programs.
Yeah.
So the only way that you're going to have really good partner engagement is by getting involved.
I would even say this. Without a robust connection to industry and partnerships, You don't have a CTE program, you have elective programs.
That's right.
You have elective classes. Without a robust connection to partnerships and industry, talent pipelines to partnerships and industry, you do not have a CTE program, you have electives.
I just want a little temperature check, right? Not this temperature, you know. Like, are you guys, is this a little bit uncomfortable to hear? It's not? Good, that means we're gonna meet tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Yeah. for breakfast and talk partner engagement, yeah. Okay? You guys are good with that? But no, seriously, like everything that we're saying is real, it works. I know there are people in this room, they're nodding their heads in agreement. Yeah. You're probably doing it.
Yeah.
But the fact is you gotta hustle, you gotta get out of your comfort zone,
yep.
and you gotta be in their world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's the key.
And don't ever, ever, ever turn down an opportunity to speak about your program or your kids. Right. And remember, it's not about us. We are the faces of our programs, but it's not about us. Sometimes you get to go to fun places like this and speak to hundreds of people. I love this. It's really challenging when you get invited to go to a meeting with four people. Don't say no. Don't say no. And my friend from Alabama, he's really Alabama-in. He loves to say this, and I've picked it up from him. It's a sorry dog that won't what? Wag his own tail.
That's right.
You gotta wag your tail. You're doing great things, your kids are doing great things, your employer, it's a sorry dog that won't wag his own tail. Talk about your students, talk about your program, wag your tail, and don't ever turn down an opportunity. Even if there's no possible, feasible connection, you get invited to go on a talk radio show in the morning. That's political. Great, go talk about your kids. That's one of the most impactful things I've been able to do is our mayor owns the radio station, and I go and talk with him once or twice a month about stats, data, figures, economic development. He needs it because he's the mayor. It allows me to promote my program.
Any Rotary, Kiwanis, Lions Club members in here? Okay, cool. So we really know that those things, they're always looking for program, right? There's a program chair. That program chair is the hardest job. You got to find people that come fill that breakfast 100%. Meeting, you know, and talk. Well, guess what? They need you at those meetings talking about your program.
Yes.
Right? Great, you know what I'm saying? Like, who's my Rotary people?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you know what I mean? Like, they need program, and why not you?
Yeah.
To talk about their future workforce and how you're gonna actually enhance this community and be economic developers.
Yeah.
That's what they want to hear.
All right, Casa, we got to move. We're gonna keep these people late. I'm sorry, everybody.
we
can tell we love recruiting.
We need like a 2-hour session. Us.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Tip number two: speak the right language. Now, what do you think we mean when we say speak the right language? Don't speak alphabet soup in education. CTAE in Georgia, CTE everywhere else, CTSO, IEP 504, training plans, blah, 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 blah. Industry doesn't give a rip about any of that stuff.
They think Perkins is a breakfast place.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Seriously.
Absolutely.
They don't care about Perkins.
They don't
make
know.
Biscuits with gravy, you know?
And so we've got to be able to flip the switch. But sometimes that means you have to educate yourself on how industry speaks.
Right.
Okay, and here's what I like to say about this. Show them, don't tell them. That's where data comes in. Show them what your kids can do. If you're out making visits, take pictures, document, build graphics. You need to create social media accounts, and not the fun social media accounts, the ones that are effective. LinkedIn is the most effective tool you'll have in your bag at promoting your students, and it's free. And look, we all have budget crises, right? When in education does the best tool and free intersect? Never, except with LinkedIn. It's the best place you can put your kids to develop portfolios, to market themselves, to sell themselves, to introduce. You can have your students build this amazing, robust portfolio on a school-safe platform, and when they graduate, they're probably gonna lose it because it's tied to their school email. And if they are able to retain it, the bottom line still remains, employers aren't on that platform, so they can't use the portfolio to get themselves a job. Put your students where the people are, where the employers are, where the hiring agencies are. So show them, don't tell them. Show them, don't tell them. So speak the right language. Have data, not anecdotal data. Actual data. Actual data, not educational alphabet soup. Not all the acronyms.
Jason, you see that data that we showed you earlier about our programs, right? Like those real numbers?
Yeah.
That's the data you need to have to show your industry partners.
Yeah.
Right, because what it does is it's what they want to see and they want to hear.
Yeah.
Listen, guys, I got to tell you, they're not really that concerned with your graduation rates.
They're not.
Unless they're a real estate agent because they know graduation rates drives housing prices, right? They're really not. They really want to understand how can you affect us economically, right? And we'll talk about the altruistic.
Yeah. But what moves the needle? What moves the needle for your employers? If you haven't thought about what moves the needle for your employers, how can you recruit them? What is it that moves the needle for them? It's not graduation rate. And guys, I'll be honest with you, it's not CCRPI scores. What is the value for your employers, for your partners? What's the value? What do they get out of it? Let's stop using things like, and we'll get to this in a second, but please stop pitching philanthropy as the main value to your employers. That moves the needle for us. We're educators. That pulls at our heartstrings. Do it for the kids. They need the help. That doesn't always work with employers. And if it does work, that's often the first type of partner where you're going to see breakage. Because as soon as a for-profit appointment comes available and there's a conflict, they're going to take that and not your program.
Yeah, you know, think about it this way, right? There's something years ago we developed something called WIFMs for business partners, right? And altruistic is definitely important, right? Because they care about the community, they care about kids, they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really is important. And that's often why they get involved. But to keep them involved, you have to pitch the financial benefits, right? When we're talking about language, you need to use the term return on investment.
100%.
That's what they want to know. You need to use the term value add, right? All of these things matter to them. So speaking their language, being focused on how this is going to benefit them and how they're going to get a return on investment. Remember, folks, they don't have to spend an ounce of their time, which is a huge resource in business, with you and your kids.
Yeah.
You have to teach them how to and make them want to. Absolutely. Kabish?
Yeah.
So, Giants in the room know what I just said.
Local development.
Yes, so
local development, not philanthropy.
Yes, that was awesome. That's
talk,
real.
And it's the same thing. Local development, not philanthropy. Access to talent, not hire our kids. You're flipping the subject. It's not hire our kids. We're the ones who are being emphatically emphasized there. It's I'm giving you access to talent. It's talent retention, not we need you to help our program. You are helping our program, but the value to you is I'm allowing you to retain the talent before your competitors have identified these students, know who they are. By the time your competitors identify these students or recognize these students, what's really happening is they've been on your payroll, onboarded into your program, into your organization, with your culture, and probably gotten a few raises by the time your competitors even know these kids exist. That is a substantial benefit to an employer.
Yeah, and one other thing, you want just real quick on this, right? Try your best to find out what the average cost is to hire an employee in your area, right? Because what you can then do is you can say to them this, right? Michael right here. Cassie, I got this great kid, Michael, who wants to be an intern with you. That's fantastic. So you know he's spectacular. You can have him for 9 months. You're gonna pay him $15 an hour.
Yeah.
Know how much that is. For him. So basically, it's going to be $4,400 over the 9 months. And guess what you just got? You got a 9-month interview.
100%. Great.
Right?
He introduced me to that. It's a great selling strategy.
You got a 9-month interview with him. Because you're going to find out over the 9 months if you want to offer him a full-time job when he graduates. And that means you're not going to have to spend that money recruiting. See where I'm going with this?
And retention is expensive too, Stephen. It's not just the cost of recruiting an employee, the cost of retaining an employee. Because you know the employees like to jump ship for a quarter an hour, 50 cents an hour. And once they've done that two or three times, same employee, same talent level, it just costs you more because they've been hired away and you've hired them back, they've been hired away, you've hired them back. Know your pitch is tip number three. Know your pitch.
Does that word make you uncomfortable? No? Some people it does. You hate to be pitched, right? But you got to know your pitch. Go ahead, Jason. Talk a little bit more about this, and we'll dig in.
So, again, what's the value of your industry? What moves the needle? I would recommend that you have a canned, when I say canned, I don't mean boring, I don't mean valueless, a canned pitch that is ubiquitously applied to any industry. Have a canned pitch, right? But your pitch also needs to have variations. If I'm talking to a medical provider about having an apprenticeship for one of my high school students who's CNA certified, patient care tech certified, that's a different pitch than if I'm talking to a welding fabrication facility about hiring one of my welders. It needs to be nuanced to your pitch. So that's what we mean when I say have variations. Have an elevator pitch. Now, what does elevator pitch mean? Simply, it means if for some reason you find yourself in an elevator with a mayor, you've got 30 seconds to convince him that your program is worth his attention. Can you do that? Okay, no one has ever accused me or Stephen of being concise, but we both have a 30-second elevator pitch.
Absolutely.
You've got to have it.
And teach your kids it, too. Every one of your kids in your programs, if they're in work-based learning, they should know an elevator pitch.
100%.
What do you got? Question.
Can we hear your 30-second pitch?
Yeah, well, so for the sake of time, no, but what I did do is in the resource folder, what I'm going to do is we've actually loaded up an elevator pitch template for you to build from. Okay, so we'll give you that. And we've also uploaded an alpha identification sheet for you to go in and identify the alphas. So we'll share that with you. But yeah.
Somebody take out a watch. Give me 30 seconds. Let's see if Steve got, and I'm going to try to do it without using my hands, which is really crazy. Okay? Ready? Hi, it's so great to meet you. I just want to tell you a little bit about Ulstabosis and how we're actually affecting economic development in our community. We have 125 kids every year that we can actually put out into the workforce. Okay, where our kids are making money in the workforce, but better yet, they're rooted in our communities. Mm-hmm. So if they have a great experience working with you, they're going to stay. How many seconds is that?
18.
Yeah. See, I could do an 18.
Yep.
Yes.
And see, so in the template I give, one of the things is,
you know what I mean?
You have that elevator pitch. And so mine basically revolves around this. So mine revolves around access to talent, talent retention, and talent pipelines. That's like my soapbox. And sometimes you get no, and then the simple response to this elevator pitch, if someone were to tell Stephen, no, I'm not ready for that, say, okay, well, when you are ready for an out-of-the-box creative solution to the problems that you're already facing, give me a call, I'm ready to help. Okay? Because that's what we're doing. We have a very unique solution to a problem that every elected official in your community is facing. Critical labor shortages. It's not a talent shortage. Stop calling it a talent shortage. The talent is available. Its industry is ignoring a massive segment of the labor market, which is our students. They have the talent. There's not a shortage of talent. It is a myopic approach to workforce development by industry they refuse to ignore, or they are ignoring, refuse to acknowledge the segment of labor market, which is high school students.
Yeah, and you know, I like to use assets, right? I like to say, we have the assets that you need to build your business. You see, I mean, like, you see what I'm saying? This is salesy, yeah? But the bottom line is, oh, this is better. I like this movie.
The ambiance.
Let's keep the ambiance. This is cool. No, seriously. This is like, you know.
He's about to put on some Sinatra.
All of a sudden, it's like, you
know,
it's like, yeah, I want to get some like nice, quiet music. But that's it, right? So again, you see, the whole logic is really to roll this up as much as you can by using language that's going to spark their curiosity. See, Jason, we talked about this last night. I don't know what we put on this, but we have to spark curiosity with them. If with my elevator pitch, my friend over there, 18 seconds. If I could spark some curiosity in that industry partner, what are they going to want?
More.
Right?
You get a meeting. Yeah.
So now what I'm doing is this. Oh, and by the way, if you want to try to get a meeting with somebody, don't say, when are you available?
Yeah.
Say, how about May 14th at 3 p.m.?
Yeah. Go ahead and get on the calendar. Don't ask them to get back with you because they won't. You've got to go ahead and book that.
They're not going to call you back.
We've talked about stop leveraging philanthropy. We've talked about the long interview. Great sales strategy. I will use that. I'm going to borrow that. I'm going to implement that. That's a great pitch. Great pitch. Local development through access to talent and talent retention. That essentially is my 30-second pitch. That's what it is. And when you're ready for a creative solution, let me know. Then I give them my business card. But here's another example. Here's a pitch that I like that I was talking to Steven said he hadn't thought of before.
This is great.
Think about this. Every business in your community, they're taxed. Some of them have some exemptions, but they're all taxed. And a lot of those taxes go to funding public education, right? So why don't you pitch this? Your tax dollars are coming to our school so we can develop the talent. If you choose to ignore that talent, what you're actually doing is paying to create talent for your competitors to hire.
That is
because
genius.
Your taxes are all, it's a sunken cost. If you know business, taxes are a sunken cost. You can't not pay taxes and stay in business. You cannot pay taxes, but you won't have a business. But you can't not pay taxes and stay in business. So if it's a sunken cost and you're not hiring the product of your sunken cost, you are choosing to forfeit return on investment. And more than that, you are paying to pay, you're paying to build the talent that your competitors are going to hire. So that's one of my favorite pitches there.
So good.
Number four.
Trust me, I'm using that one.
Number four, know your programs. This is real simple. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this. If you came here and you want to learn to recruit and sell and you don't know the programs in your school, I can't help you. Like, you got to know the programs. What do they prepare and what do they build? What are the standards in the healthcare program? I'm not a healthcare teacher, Jason. No, you are the capstone to every CTE program in your school. You need to know the standards. You need to know the goals, the outcomes. And quite frankly, we're work-based learning practitioners here. I'm going to be very blunt. You need to know which one of your teachers are good and which ones aren't. If you don't sell the product of the teacher who's not good as your proof of concept, pick your best teacher, pick their best student, and let that be your proof of concept. And then, I'm not saying ignore the bad teachers. I'm saying don't pitch their students first because they're not producing the best talent. Establish proof of concept and then move forward. And this is Stephen's point. Don't pigeonhole to theme. I love this.
Yeah, so basically what it is this. Anytime you go to visit a business partner or a business, right? Like if you go to a welding company, right? You're going in there and you're thinking, well, we want to get welders for you. That's
and I've only
true.
Got two welders a year, Steve. Why would I go to a welding company?
But you know what? Do you need some help in your administrative office?
100%.
Right? You know, when we go to healthcare, right? Who's healthcare people in here? Okay, check it out. When you go to a nursing home, it's like a city. Right? There's culinary, there's HVAC, there's maintenance, there's hospitality. Right? So when you go in, you have to go in. You know, this next thing, Jason, let's just go to the next one because it really fits. Right? It's this know your customer thing. You have to be prepared.
Yeah.
You gotta do research on your customer and you gotta understand all the ways you can help them, not how they can help you.
Yep.
Because if you pitch them how you can help them, they're gonna help you.
100%.
Right? The outcome is gonna be for your kids and your programming.
Yeah.
So you have to know your customer. That don't pigeonhole the theme is real.
And don't,
you know what I mean?
Don't give away your leverage. We do need them. But if you were negotiating for $1 million contract, you're going to tell the person how much you need them? No, you're going to tell them, here's what I bring to the table. They know you need them, but if you lead with that and you give away your leverage, it doesn't come across the same way. So knowing your customers, know your customers, know who you're pitching. One, guys, I love this. I'm not going to take credit for this. My good buddy of mine, we have a podcast called the 2152 Project. It's a crowdsourced professional development platform for work-based learning. Our offices are 2,152 miles apart. That's why we called it the 2152 Project. But he taught me this. No's are the blueprints to yeses.
Yes, absolutely.
What do you mean by that? If someone tells you no, you give them your pitch and they tell you no, 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 what have they just told you?
Tell
Here are the more. Problems you've got to solve to get me on board. No's are the blueprint to yeses. No, 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 Jason, I can't. We don't have access to the resources to we can't babysit. Now I need to change their mindset on what my students do. You're not babysitting them. No, 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 Jason, we can't hire students under 18. Okay, I can solve that problem. No, 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 Jason, we don't have the time. Okay, well, whenever they say no, they're telling you, here's what you've got to solve to get me on board. Now, if you solve three no's and there's still no, then leave them. You're called to recruit the needy, not the stubborn. If you answer all their no's and they still won't, then just go. Find somebody else. Tell them very politely, I'm taking my talent to your competitor and you'll call me in a few years.
Yeah, but you got to say that subtly, right? Because the bottom line is they may come back to you. So.
I'm a gentle disruptor. Sometimes I'm not so gentle. If you answer all their issues and they still say no, then just pick up and move on and go find somebody who's not so stubborn.
So basically the logic is this, right? You got to kind of go in and forestall the objection, right? You got to know, you got to kind of figure out what's going to be the no
yeah.
and what's my response, right?
Yeah.
So you see this next one is don't be afraid to ask. You never lead with the ask, but you can't be afraid to ask, right?
Yeah.
You lead with the value add and then you ask for something and you shut up.
Yep.
The first order of sales is to ask for the order and shut up.
Yep.
Excuse the crudeness of that language, but it's true. Because the first person who speaks loses.
Loses.
Right? Here, gonna give a quick thing about asking, and this is so critical. Most people are really uncomfortable asking for stuff. It's the truth. especially asking for help for ourselves. I don't understand that one.
Steven, tell that story.
Yeah, quick story. Eighth grade, I had that hair that you saw before, because I was actually graduating high school. It was so cool. Like, you know, a DA type of thing. So good. Wow. So I came home from school one day in eighth grade. My dad worked a 6-to-2 shift. He was a dispatcher for the New York City Transit Authority. And my house, when you would go in the house, you open the door and there was a kitchen table and he had his seat. And you'd come home from work, 2 o'clock, just get, you know, come, and he'd read the paper, the Daily News, every day, every single day. That was the routine. So I come home one day and he goes, how was your day? And I said, yeah, it was all right. And I just had like a sour face and I'm like, what happened? What's the matter? I said, nothing. He goes, what's the matter? I says, the eighth grade dance is coming up, you know? And I really want to ask this girl because she, Dad, she's like the prettiest girl in eighth grade. She's so cool. I really want to ask her, but I'm so scared to ask her. And my dad in his classic Italian Brooklyn, it was like this. He goes, what's the matter with you? He says, you ask her and she says yes, and you're in heaven, right? Yes, when she says no, and you're in the same boat you're in right now. So I got up the courage to ask her. Guess what she said?
Yes.
No! She said no! But it was okay! It was actually okay. I didn't feel too bad. I felt crushed a little bit at the moment, but it's like, yo, I got this confidence, and guess what I did? I asked the next gorgeous girl, and she said yes! If my dad didn't make me understand, and you know what? My whole entire life, I'll never forget that. And I use it all the time. You can't be afraid to ask. You can't. Because there's no possible way you get a yes if you don't ask.
Next
Make sense?
Yeah. And next.
Oh, by the way, I got to say one other thing very quick on that story. So that we reconnect on Facebook years, the first girl I asked, she actually said, I should have went with you. Big mistake.
So real quick about knowing your customers, we're not going to spend a ton of time on this because it is an entirely different, whole separate presentation. But know who are you pitching? Are you pitching like an old school Gen Xer? You pitch, or is the CEO a new one of the new millennials? They value different things. Your pitch should change. Know the generational differences between who you're pitching. Okay, a pitch to, like I said, one of those old school Gen Xers or the generation after that, that's difficult to differentiate between those two if you haven't thought about it on the fly. Think about who you're pitching and know what they value.
Yeah, that's really important because then you can forestall some objections, right?
Yeah.
This seems to be a really, really big problem with some of the old school employers, you know what I mean? And then what you can do is you can talk to them about how you're working to create situations where they understand when and when not to use the phone. Right?
All right, we got 6 minutes, Kostya. We got to roll.
Yeah, no, we got six minutes.
Tip six.
Which is actually a line in the song.
Tip six, find the alphas. Find the alphas. So, if you're establishing proof of concept and selling, you're trying to build proof of concept for your program, recruit the people who move the needle in your program or in your community. Find the alphas in your community. Now, it's a lot of stuff here, but I want to leave with this. Please don't mistake someone's title for their influence. There are a lot of betas and Charlies who have a good title because their daddy owns the company. Don't find the person who's got the biggest title in the room. Find the person who makes the decisions. Recruit the alphas. Another thing in our sheet, that in our resource folder that we're going to provide for you is an alpha worksheet. Who's your mayor? Who's your county commissioner? Who is the person in the community who makes decisions that doesn't have a position of authority? You know who it is normally in South Georgia? The farmer with the most land. He moves the needle in the community. At least it is in South Georgia. Maybe it may be different where you are. And maybe somebody else.
Well, you know, I did something when I started this Academy of Finance in Middletown, New York. Tallest building, 6 stories, biggest employer was a prison. I started an Academy of Finance. Who am I going to get to be the chair of our advisory board? Well, I identified somebody who actually spearheaded the funding to bring back modified sports when the budget cuts happened.
Yeah.
This guy cared about the community. He owned the lumber company. What the heck does that have to do with finance? Well, guess what? He cared about the community, saw the value. You see where I'm going with this? You have to do the research to identify the alphas and who they are. And you got to pitch them. Because they're going to listen. Because they're always thinking strategically and always thinking return on investment. Right? Oh, yeah, hold on. I'm going to do that too, Jason.
I'll give it to you.
Nah, it's got to be a double.
Oh, it's got to be your
hilarious.
Bald head.
Come on.
It's got to be your bald head in the picture. Okay. So someone, find someone who won. Here's the thing. When you recruit an alpha, Not only are they going to help you, but that helps legitimize your program in the eyes of other alphas. If the mayor is on your advisory board, it's easier to recruit the county commissioner because the mayor legitimizes your program. Find someone who has influence in the community, who can move the needle. Find someone who has an expanded network of contacts. Find someone, and I love this, the three W's. How do you identify alpha? Someone who can identify workers, wealth, or wisdom. The more W's they can provide, the higher they are on my alpha scale. If they can provide workers, wealth, and wisdom, they're my primo target. If they can just provide wisdom, okay, I like that, but you're a little bit lower on my alpha scale. Can they give you all three W's? Then they are a alpha. This next sample alphas down here, those are just people who I've targeted. Again, that'll be in the alpha worksheet that we give you in the resource folder, just to go home, fill out the worksheet, just like you're in eighth grade worksheet, look at it, and then say, these are my targets. Answer the questions, then you have your targets.
And just remember, one other thing on the alpha pitch, right? Seriously, I want you to consider something. We're economic developers.
100%.
Right? In your community, what we're doing as work-based learning people are economic developers. You need to go to your economic development director. You got to get them to be best friends, arm in arm.
Yep, 100%. The first meeting I sought out was my development authority. Seven, last is cultivate relationships. And we've already talked about this, so essentially we're done. We'll summarize this and then we'll take questions. Cultivate relationships. One, it takes time. You're not going to go home and roll out this amazing recruitment program in 30 minutes of prep. Start small. Identify the first alpha, recruit them, get them on board, and here's the value of an alpha. I love this. Think about this. If you recruit an alpha and they buy into your program, they are the ones who are championing your program when you're not in the room.
They become your salespeople.
We said something yesterday. I liked it and I forgot it. What was it?
I don't know.
It was something. It was profound and we forgot it. I forgot. But
we're both ADD, so that's what happens. You know?
So basically, they become your mobile marketing force. And they're marketing to other alphas because that's the circle they roll in. Find an alpha who can help you do this. Two, it takes effort. Remember, we talked about hustle. You got to hustle. It takes effort to do this. It's not going to be all cupcakes and kittens, right? It's sometimes you're going to get the no. You're going to get like the dance, right? How do you roll away from that? Don't take it personal. Just say, hey, I'll take this to your competitors. And then once you see they're having success with it, you're going to call me back. I mean, don't tell them that, but they'll call you back. And no joke, after Steve and I, we were talking yesterday, we've both done this. I now receive more cold calls than I make because I've established proof of concept. And competitors are saying, hey, well, why does Ace Electric have this pipeline and I don't? And I said, well, it's actually funny. And I throw them under the bus. Your HR person told me no. Oh, really? Yeah, you should have a conversation with them and then call me back. I'd love to meet with you. And you can have the people who Ace doesn't choose, right? Again, gentle sometimes is not my strong suit. It may not be during school hours. It may not be reimbursable. Cultivate relationships. Take someone to lunch. Take them to play golf. Take them fishing. Whatever is cool in your community, find a way to do that.
But please, folks, it takes time. You have to not give up on the relationship.
Yep. Right? Exactly. And then lastly, we've mentioned really start small and develop proof of concept. POC is proof of concept. Also, use the term POC, proof of concept, to them. So look, I've already established proof of concept. All I got to do is bring a plug-and-play model into your community, into your industry, into your business, and I can solve your critical labor shortages with just a little bit of effort, a little bit of work. I've got the proof of concept. Plug and play for it.
I'm shocked. We're actually only 2 minutes over.
Oh, we're over?
Kelly is actually not that stressed out, which is good. We're only 2 minutes over, but we do want to, if anybody has any questions real quick, we'll take a couple. Right? If not, you can get in touch with us. I hope this serves as a value. Anybody have any questions that they want to ask before we bounce out?
Yes.
Yeah, I teach at an alternative school. Do you have any experience? Either of you have any experience?
Yes.
With alternative
schools? Yeah. Absolutely. And the model doesn't change for me. I use it as a redemptive technique of if you stay on the right track, I'll keep you with this job. If you get off track, I take your job away.
Yeah, again, it's just really focused on employability skills, right? Your past means nothing. Your future means everything. This is your shot to the kid, the business partner, bites. Really quick.
Yeah, so I'm in higher ed. What would one piece of advice you give to a
I'm going to tell you really quickly. She's higher ed. What's one piece of advice? Connect with and work with your high schools. It is so bizarre that there's no connection, right? Because we're all workforce development.
Thank y'all for Makes coming. Y'all have a great day.
Thank you, guys. We're up here if you want to ask questions. Appreciate you all. Sorry, we couldn't finish.
How do we get your packet or your resources?
Yeah. So folks.
Yeah, they did.
This stuff will all be loaded on the app.
You're welcome.
Okay. I'm in the Sketch app. If you want to get in touch with me, you can reach out to me through that. I'll get you everything you need.
Hey.
Oh, thank you so
no,
much.
Seriously, you're talking about
it.
It's perfect.
So 15 minutes is not.
But the way you guys had your slides, the way what you talked about, and then you kept moving is perfect.